Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, before Brian and I talk to you about this offense, you know, it was a great game. We were all excited on Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, and there's only one way to celebrate, and that's by going to Boomer Jacks. You can cool off with cool drink specials and affordable eats. I know I was burning up at the stadium yesterday, partly because I was wearing a hoodie. That probably wasn't the best choice in 90-degree weather. But, man, it was all I could do to stop thinking about Boomer Jacks and the cold drinks there. It's a great space with something for the whole family or your group of friends. Whatever type of atmosphere you're looking for, Boomer Jacks provides that. And you can come in, you can cool off with drink specials starting at $3. They've got awesome food, awesome appetizers. There's wall-to-wall TVs, live music, and more. Everybody's going to be happy. Whether you're looking for a great, you know, happy hour with your coworkers, a good spot to watch some of the games with your buddies, or you're just looking for a nice family night out, Boomer Jacks is the spot. It fits anything that you need. 17 DFW locations, so you know there's one around you, and you can find your location by going to boomerjacks.com. That's boomerjacks.com. All right, Brian, let's talk about specifics now. I mean, we kind of did an overview of the game itself and some of the key moments, but let's look at specifics relating to offense and defense. Let's do this segment. We'll start off with the offense first. We did not talk nearly enough about him in some of the key moments of the game, but what a performance from Cooper Rush, especially early. I think in the second half, Cincinnati adjusted. They took away some stuff from him, but ultimately, you know, makes them pay early, makes Cincinnati have to respect the passing game, and then also on that final drive when they get into field goal position, you know, made the plays when he needed to. So Cooper Rush, this is 2 years in a row now that he's really stepped up in a big way for them.
Yeah, how about that? Cooper Rush, 2-0 as an NFL starter. Both of them comeback victories. That's incredible. And, you know, it's so funny. In the post game, they're talking to him, and Clarence Hill's like, are you happy? Because he's so – I mean, he was focused on just finding – you know, just like, you know, we made some good plays. I was really happy about the way, you know, Noah did a great job of, you know. And he's just kind of monotone talking about it, and everybody's kind of laughing.
Yep.
You know, and you're thinking, man, you need to be excited about this. But that's Cooper Rush. And I think a lot of it has to do with today and going into this game, his coaches and teammates had confidence in him.
In a big way.
The rest of us didn't.
Yeah.
The rest of us are like, and, you know, let's be honest. You know, you get in a situation where your backup quarterback, and I know Babe Loflenberg doesn't like me to say the backup quarterback, but the quarterback that doesn't normally start is, you know, is playing today. And so you're trying to think, and after how poorly they looked last week on offense with Dak Prescott in the game, with receivers and running and all, you know, the line and all the questions that you had, well, here you go. This, you know, like you're expecting him to come in here and do great things. he played as well as you can imagine. He gave them. He was one of the main reasons why they won this football game, because he didn't make mistakes. He didn't turn over the ball. He didn't try and do too much. He managed everything successfully. When they had a chance to make big plays, he delivered on some big plays. You know, that final drive, they needed 20 yards. What did he do? He found a way. They burned a timeout along the way. And all of a sudden, you know, the ball's to the sidelines. They got to rally, spike it. There's all kinds of disastrous things that could have happened in the last, 25 seconds of that game. But he was able to kind of pull it all together, get him in field goal range. The great thing about it was, if it's a miss, it's overtime. If it's a make, we're all going home happy. And he got just enough to get Brett Maher to get that thing home. And I thought he played a super ball game tonight.
Boy, and just as much as we opened the show up with confidence of Brett Maher, just hooked that inside. I honestly thought, watching it live, I was watching the in-house feed, I thought he missed it. I thought it hooked. But just right, and you saw everybody else reacting positively, so I felt good about it. A lot of positive things to say about Cooper Rush. I don't think you can say enough good things about Noah Brown. Holy cow, 5 catches, 91 yards, and a touchdown. And let's just look, Brian, over the course of the game, some of these catches that he had. You're talking about 4th and 2 for 17 yards. Big conversion there. The 2nd and 7 from the Cincinnati 9, he scores that 9-yard touchdown pass. A fantastic reception. 3rd and 10, 28-yard pickup, keeps the drive alive. 3rd and 4, 25-yard pickup, keeps the drive alive. Another, you've got him on the final drive there, that one with 51 seconds left.
The tip ball.
Yeah, 12-yard reception. Yeah. Every single play Noah Brown made today was huge. It wasn't just 5 for 91. It was 5 catches that I don't know if you win the game without any one of them.
Yeah, 5 for 5 on huge plays. That's what you want to say right there. 5 targets, 5 catches. All 5 of them were huge, huge plays for Noah Brown. And, this is one of those things, Bobby, when we were at Oxnard and we were watching Noah Brown and Simi Fehoko and guys like that, they were having positive practices. Yeah. They were having, good. It wasn't just like they were super consistent. It wasn't up and down and up and down. And, it's like one day they're really good, 2 days they're bad, one day they're good again. No, Noah Brown did a great job of being super consistent tonight. And like I was talking about in the post game show, Noah Brown, not only does he go 5 for 5 on big catches, Noah Brown's your personal protector on the punt team. Noah Brown is doing other things to help you win football games. So, I'm glad for him. I hope this is something that he can build on. I'm hoping that next week, if they get Michael Gallup back, it's Lamb, it's Brown, it's Gallup, those guys all making plays. That's what my hope is for next week.
I this will stun you. I know we're just 2 games into the season, and so you're projecting out a lot. It's like, trying to project out Micah Parsons for, 34 sacks this year, because he has 2 in each game. But through 2 games, Noah Brown's 17-game projection, Brian, is 85 receptions and 1,350 yards. Not bad. A guy, maybe he's your Cedric Wilson. Maybe he's this guy that steps up and has a career. And he said at his locker, I want to point it out real quick. He said at his locker, talked about, I've been in Dallas for a long time and waited my turn, and talked about how this organization has shown a lot of belief in me, and I wanted to pay that back and pay that back in this opportunity. And he absolutely has in a big way. How much Cooper Rush getting here in 2017? He obviously missed a year, but that's the same year Noah Brown got here. How much do you think just their time, probably taking reps together on the same offense just over the course of 5 years, is why it seems like Cooper Rush had a lot of trust and a lot of faith in Noah Brown?
How many scout team reps you think those two took together?
A lot.
Running other teams' routes and, here, man, throw me the back shoulder fade down here to emulate Terry McLaurin, or here, throw this, over here for, it's Cooper Rush. Every rep he takes in practice is not a rep getting ready for the offense. This week, he got the most work he's ever going to getting ready for a game. I'm sure the Minnesota game last year, same thing.
Well, Minnesota,
but he's
even
not
remember
getting a lot of work.
Even Minnesota,
and neither's Noah Brown.
Yeah, even Minnesota, they didn't rule out Dak until game time. So he wasn't getting all the work. This was the first time where it's like, you're the guy, and really stood out, played well. What did you think about how CeeDee Lamb played tonight? 7 catches, 75 yards. I thought he finished the game a lot stronger. The first half was a little shaky, but I thought he finished the game really well.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
There is there's a lot going on in CeeDee Lamb, and he is, he's now got the target on him. He's the guy that's now the number one wide receiver. He's going to draw coverage. He's going to draw attention. I felt like they tried to get him going early with some of the screens and some of the passes that they threw to him. But I'm okay. Again, CeeDee Lamb, 11 targets, same number of targets as last week. Instead of getting 2 catches, he got 7 catches.
Yeah.
That's
and a big catch late.
Yeah. If CeeDee Lamb's going to get 11 targets, give me 7, 8, or 9 catches, please. Just give me 7, 8, or 9 off 11 targets, and I'll be super happy with how they're using CeeDee Lamb.
By the way, I want to point out that on the last Love of the Star podcast, when we went to the listener mailbag, you remember one of our listeners set the over-under for receptions for CeeDee at 7. And so we nailed that one. Our listeners are good. They should be working
for
Vegas.
They're very good. Very good.
So that's the takeaway on CeeDee Lamb. I did think it was interesting when he had that one catch and he kind of got rolled up, and his knee or his ankle was clearly bothering him. Hanson Yang, the assistant athletic trainer, he was over there taping him up on the sideline right after that, looked in a lot of pain. Tyler Biotis started calling the trainers over after he got up, and he, pushed Tyler Biotis' hand down, gave a thumbs up, and started, waving them off, get the hell off of the field. I did like seeing CeeDee Lamb clearly is exhibiting toughness and wants to make sure he's out there for his team.
He's wide receiver one. He's got to go out there and play. The whole thing with Houston and guys like that, we're going to get to a point in time where we'll see. Maybe Tolbert can step up in one of these practices. Maybe all of a sudden it's Tolbert's involved, and then you've got him going the right direction, and he's part of the five that's getting work along with Turpin and those guys. And, but they need more guys like the Noah Browns that they're stepping up, and the CeeDee Lamb said, see, he's wide receiver one. He has to step up. The others, the Noah Browns, the Turpins, guys like that, they're going to need those guys to play well.
Offensive line. I know offensive line's always one that you get a better look at when you get a chance to watch the film.
Monday morning.
That's somewhere where our opinions will probably evolve more than any other position on offense when you watch it back, is looking at how they played. But just kind of your initial takeaways from the offensive line, what you saw from up in the press box. Like I said, I thought Tyler Smith played great. I thought Terrence Steele had a really nice bounce back week. Matt Farniak, I thought, held his own okay. There were a couple times where he got beat. I thought the guy who
Hendrickson got him that one time, right?
Didn't Hendrickson
go at 3 technique and got him on a move?
So he got him once, and Cooper Rush
blasted. Or was that Hendrickson at 3?
That was Hendrickson at 3 on one where he didn't get a sack, but he rocked Cooper Rush, and Cooper Rush had to throw it away quick. The only sack they got tonight came on a twist with Hubbard. Hubbard came on a twist, and Biotis was late getting over there to pick it up. So the only guy I thought struggled tonight, and it wasn't even consistent. I thought there were a couple times where I noticed Tyler Biotis doing good things, but the guy I noticed the most having struggles tonight was Tyler Biotis. I don't know how you saw it.
Yeah, I that's the great thing about getting to watch the film in the morning and kind of take care of that. But, I thought overall, man, I'm always worried about Cooper Rush holding the ball, because there were times in the preseason where, hold and hold and hold and, I thought he was very decisive throwing the ball, but I think he understood that, the games and the practices and the stuff he got during training camp, he has to be quicker. Somebody was telling him, hey, Cooper, you have to throw the ball quicker. You can't hold it. And I thought he did a really nice job of that. But I thought the line did a nice job of giving him the opportunity to see where he needed to throw the ball and gives the receivers the opportunity to get the route, you know, get into the route tree and then make that throw where he needs to be. So I'm sure there's, you know, when you're grading 70, 75 plays or whatever it's going to be, I'm sure there's going to be those ones where you're like, oh, that was a minus. Oh, that was bad. Oh, they got lucky there. But I think for the most part, for the Bengals not to only have one sack and it not come from Hendrickson, I think it would have to be a win. It's like Jamar Chase catching five balls for 50 yards.
Yeah.
That's a win on defense. Hendrickson not having a sack, that's a win for the Cowboy offensive line.
Absolutely. And one more thing I want to point out, since we're talking about the offensive line before we transition over to defense, and I know we talked about the turnover Dalton Schultz had, and Dalton Schultz has had a little bit of a slow start to the season as a pass catcher. I'm gonna say it with my chest, Brian. I don't believe after two games, I don't believe Dalton Schultz is a liability blocking right now. Dalton Schultz has looked really good. Dalton Schultz had a nice block on the Pollard.
Ferguson, I think on the long run, I have to watch it, but Ferguson got into like a scuffle, and it might have been after the long run.
It was the touchdown, I think.
Pass, whatever they called it.
It was a pass, but it was a run in spirit.
Okay. Anyway, the 1 yard run, Ferguson came off the ball and like punished his guy and got in kind of a scuffling thing where the officials had to jump in, and he goes to the sidelines and like Mike McCarthy's like grabbing him like, bro, take it easy out there. You know,
he plays with some aggression.
Because I was watching him. I mean, he had a really, really good block. But you're right about these tight ends. Schultz and Ferguson, I think they're doing a lot better job with the run blocking stuff, at least through the first 2 weeks of the season.
You're listening to the Love of the Star podcast. The Love of the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.